Hey guys, what's up? It's me, Josh Vasquez. People call me The Josh, and you guys are listening to the Josh Speaks podcast. Welcome. If this is your first time listening, I want to say thank you for at least taking a moment in your time in your life to actually click and find out what I'm all about, what I'm doing. Well, basically, this is for you. If you are part of a BPO, or if you're working in a call center, this is exactly for you. This podcast is for you. My goal is to simply go ahead and talk about life, talk about your career, talk about how we can all be successful while staying happy and being happy at the same time. And I think happiness is what we all want, don't we? Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go ahead and also promote my upcoming book. Right now, I'm working on creating a book, and this is for people who stay up and who are awake dealing with customers thousands of miles away from the country, and they're awake when people are sleeping, they sleep when people are awake. So yeah, this is for you. If you're working in a call center, for whether this is your first time, whether you're a call center virgin, that's the term we use for first timers, or whether you've been in the industry for quite some time now, this is exactly for you. So I want you to just probably take a couple of minutes, just listen to what I got to say. And if you like it, go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and share this, because I will give you guys more as I release my official book. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you guys the introduction. I'm not gonna put out the title yet. I'm gonna keep that as a surprise, because my goal is to probably go ahead and get this out by next year. So here we go. Introduction. I remember clearly the first moments I got involved in the call center industry. I had a judging mind and a stereotype for the industry as being too easy and even promiscuous. May stigma kasi, diba? So it was at those moments that I sat down at the recruitment center of the company I applied for. I saw different applicants waiting in line with me. I saw people ranging from the virgins or the first timers, normally those looking super prepared and nervous, even wearing a typical applicant outfit, the two timers, or those who have been in more than one or two BPO companies, and of course, the mature ones. Those close to being a senior citizen applicant who are probably trying to find themselves back to the workforce, sometimes out of necessity or just plain itch to do something. What hit me most was the sight of people not being able to get past through the interview when I knew they had issues and needs. There was this one particular guy I was sitting with, probably early 20s, who said that he was in need of getting a job to buy himself a laptop so he can continue in school. I recall having him go before me in the interview. He was all dressed up. He was wearing a polo shirt, slacks, and black shoes, while I was wearing a t-shirt and some partly worn out jeans. Alam mo yung feeling na bihis ka na, only to hear daunting words like, "We'll contact you and get in touch with you soon." That was probably how he felt. To him, this was the heartbreaker. It was partly sad when I saw him leave the recruitment hub and see him go back to me and ask, "May iba ka pa bang alam na ma-applyan?" It was also that time when I saw some old or mature folks come down to tears, trying their best to hold it back as they leave the recruitment hub. This, for me, was one of the big realizations that prompted me to value the industry. I got in a job that others would die to have. Well, fast forward to my career, I saw myself daunted with the new tasks given to me. Sino ba naman hindi matatakot sa dalawang monitor sa harap mo, new tools and weird jargons that you have to learn? I mean, what the hell was AHT? Questioning was pretty much hard. And kailangan, you had to ask. You just had to ask what it was. Now, I wasn't much of a computer person back then, but I sure knew how to speak English well. After focusing on what I could do, I ended up getting passed through training. Not just that, but despite me being a virgin in the industry, I actually ranked as top agent in my wave. And after 6 grueling months of getting to production, braving different customers, getting mocked, cursed, and threatened at the same time, I was blessed enough to get a trainer post. I became a trainee trainer for a few months right before I became part of the training team officially. The struggle as a trainer was real. The biggest challenge for me was getting the credibility of people who, 1, have been in the company way longer than I have been, 2, who are 2 or 3 times my age, and 3, get the credibility from my fellow trainers who constantly check on you to see whether you're doing things or not. Now, here I am. I'm still alive and well. I have received multiple awards in the last 3 years, and I have experienced hundreds of people pass through me in training. It made me realize the deep secrets and principles that would allow one to survive the call center life. Now, what I challenge you on is I probably want you to embark on a journey with me as we reassess where you are and where you are willing to move forward and get more in life. I've compiled my experiences and experiences of different people from different stages in the call center life. My desire is that one way or another, you'd find yourself relating to the stories. Ready, Kaneba? Let's go. Chapter 1. Apply ka pogi, ikaw ganda. There was one time when a cousin of mine had to seek my help because he was stuck in a rut and needed to get a job immediately. He got himself in trouble for using his parents' money to gamble in online games that amounted to around 70,000 pesos. How he got to that amount, I had no idea. He ended up getting a job in the company that I was working for. He stayed there for almost half a year. He saved money. He left his ATM card to his mom. That's a wise choice. And he actually went back to school. He even found himself romance. But he's currently finishing his engineering degree in the Yellow School of Hispania, Manila. He needed money and got it. I know another person though who was in a teaching career. He had an undergrad degree and was on his way to his master's. But he ended up being in a call center because his job wasn't paying that much, but was asking much from him. He needed stability, and that's what he got. Ito naman. I remember, I also know a 53-year-old trainee of mine who had training experiences in the army, a good degree in UP Diliman, and having an amazing depth of knowledge with the political scenes here in the country. He didn't want to be a bum and wanted to keep moving. He also found himself in a call center. He needed fulfillment, and that's what he got. And there was this trainee of mine who had multiple experiences of going abroad. She, along with her family, lived in Saipan for a good number of years. And during training, she was always ecstatic to tell people of how beautiful Saipan was and how good the pay was to her. Her vision was to see herself and her family there abroad again. After her training with me, she found herself wanting to stay in the company, letting her family go ahead of her in Saipan. She needed a deeper purpose and got it. And then there's me. I was an 18-year-old dude who applied for the job for 2 reasons. 1, my mom, who is a solo parent, had a hard time with my tuition fee as it went higher and higher by the year. And 2, it's because my best friend left me alone in the university for a call center job 1 semester. To get back at him, I ended up applying for a job when he came back during the 2nd sem. Well, the difference with us is that I fell in love with it while he went on AWOL. I needed a reason, and I got it. Different people have different reasons. The reason matters less than the fact that it exists. In other words, dapat alam mo kung bakit ka nag-a-apply or bakit ka nag-work. There are different reasons why people go for a job, and for me, you can categorize them into need. That's right, NEED. You get necessity, experience, exposure, and desire. Now, among the need, I believe the D is the most important. You always gotta pay attention to your D. If you don't, you'll eventually lose everything. Yeah, that's true. I'm not exaggerating here. You can actually lose your necessities and you may lose your experience and exposure if you don't have a big D or desire. Here's why. Now, according to Simon Sinek, he created this circle. It's called the Golden Circle. If you haven't seen Simon Sinek's video, you can go ahead and search it up on YouTube. Now, it talks about a couple of things. Number one, it talks about three areas of our lives where we constantly ask questions. And we simply ask the question, what? What do I get out of working here? And how? How do I feel towards what I have right now? But then there's the last question. And the last question is the most important one. See, the what, this is what most people would initially see. This is the people, or this is what people obtain. For example, what do I get? I could immediately say salary. I get incentives. I get possessions. And what do we get out of that? I get to buy things, not just my needs, but I also get to buy what I want. Now, what about the how? How do I feel with where I am right now? Look at the people around you. If you're probably new to the industry, you have wave mates. If you've been there for quite some time now, you have teammates with you. Or if you're a leader, then you have co-managers with you. You have co-leaders with you whom you work with every single day. Now, this represents your feelings towards things. Now, how you feel about other people and how you feel towards your environment represents your how. If you notice, your what and your how, both of them are actually external. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, your what can initially be snatched. Like, what do I get? I get my money. But you always get your money. Have you ever experienced not getting what you want? Absolutely. Have you ever experienced not receiving what you want? For example, delayed incentive, delayed promotion, delayed salary. And then there's another one, your how. How would you feel if you suddenly lost the people that you like to hang around with? Would you still have the same drive? Absolutely not. See, when these things are snatched, kind of like when you have a phone that's exposed and you're walking around, I don't know, Quiapo or Divisoria, it's easily exposed. It's available for people who would want to snatch it. And that's exactly the same thing. If you base your drive from things that are external, from money, if you base it from your feelings, those things can easily be taken away from you. So, the greatest question that you should be asking is not reliant on external things, but it's reliant on something that's so internal. And the question to that is, why? Yep. This area talks about your biggest purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you seeking comfort? And why are you seeking attainment of certain possessions? Ask yourself right now, when was the last time you actually checked your why? Here's an example. Why do you need to work? I need money. Why do you need money? I need money to buy necessities and pay bills. Why do you need to pay for necessities and pay bills? I need it to keep my life stable and secure. Now, why do you need to keep life stable and secure? Because I know my parents cannot afford it. Why do you think your parents can't afford it? Because they were not able to prepare that much and save that much for my future, and I don't want that. Why do you work for something that isn't your fault? Because I honor and respect myself and my future children, and I wouldn't want them to experience the same thing. Therefore, your why in this situation is your desire to provide a good future for yourself and your future family. Eventually, it will be the main reason why you would want to keep going, regardless if your what and your how are stolen. You will not lose hope knowing that your purpose and vision is clear as a crystal. Successful people are always intentional. They always know why they are doing things. Rarely do they do things out of sheer luck or randomness. Even Jesus of the Bible knew why he had to let himself be crucified on the cross of Calvary. He had a personal mission to fulfill the Father's will with full obedience. Whether you're about to apply or you've been in the industry for quite some time now, try to reassess yourself with the following questions and feel free to check your deepest answer. Why do you do what you do? And that's it for the Josh Speaks. Thank you guys for listening. That's just a prelude to my book. Go ahead and subscribe. Thank you guys for listening.